a few reflections on marriage and family life as coming from God. Some biblical couples who were faced with childlessness, at least for some time. Children as a precious gift of God. When children don't arrive, what do the married Catholics do? Genesis presents us with God creating Adam, and there was nobody like him. The trees, the animals, they were all nice, but they could not be his companions. And God created Eve. So marriage and the family come from God. As the Blessed John Paul II says in Familiaris Consortio, willed by God in the very act of creation, marriage and the family are interiorly ordained to fulfillment in Christ and have need of his graces in order to be healed from the wounds of sin, original sin, and then our personal sins, and restored to their beginning, that is, to full understanding and the full realization of God's plan. Marriage is of Adam and Eve, one man and one woman. It looks so reasonable and obvious, except that in the world of today, with ideologies that undermine the family at times, it becomes necessary to say that marriage is of one man and one woman. It is aimed at procreation and the mutual growth of husband and wife, so that each of them can become what that one can become. Marriage is therefore the will of God for our personal growth, ever before children arrive, for the personal growth of the couple, each of them. The Second Vatican Council calls the family community of love. If the person is a Christian, then the marriage covenant attains the dignity of a sacrament, one of the seven major ways in which we receive the graces of redemption. It shows, therefore, that marriage is a very serious thing. It is not something put together at an international convention in San Francisco, or even on the Vatican Hill, not to talk of the London Parliament. So none of these has any capacity or competence to revise it or to reinvent it. The Bible tells us about some couples faced with childlessness, at least for some time. Sarah, in the book of Genesis, for many years had no child. She was sad. She prayed. Finally, God gave her a child when Abraham, the husband, was 90 years old. Rachel also, for some time, had no child. In those days, God tolerated polygamy. Not today. But later on, God gave Rachel children. Manoah and his wife, he had two wives, and one of them had no child. She prayed. And the priest in the temple in Jerusalem thought she was drunk and was murmuring like a drunken woman. She said, no, I am not that type. It's just that I'm begging God for a child. So the priest said, all right, next year you will have a child. And she had a child and dedicated him to God. That was the famous Samson. He did very well until he saw one woman who toppled him finally. Zachary and Elizabeth had no child. Zachary was taking his turn in the temple when an angel appeared to him and told him he would have a child. That would be John the Baptist. Zachary made a little argument, told the angel that he himself was old and also the wife was old. He asked the angel, any proof? Angel said, proof? Very good, you get it now. You won't be able to talk until the child is born. You got your proof. And that's what happened. But when the child was born, Zachary broke out in the big chant, canticle, we call Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. And he recalled all the greatness of God in the Old Testament. It shows that God sees the suffering of those who have no child. Psalm 113 says, he gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyful mother of children. There is no doubt that children are a precious gift of God. John Paul II in Familiaris Consortio says, in its most profound reality, love is essentially a gift. And conjugal love, while leading the spouses to reciprocal knowledge, which makes them one flesh, does not end with the couple, because it makes them capable of the greatest possible gift, the gift by which they become cooperators with God for giving life to a new human person. Children are a gift from God. The child is like a sign that the parents remain. And some names parents give to their children, even in my home culture, show that the joy of the parents, like the name Blessing, like the name My Father Lives On, My Mother Is Greater, because they see in the child a realization that there is a tomorrow. Children are definitely a gift from God, but not a possession of the parents. So the child always remains a gift. The parents should never say that they own the child in the sense in which we can own a cat. What do couples do when they want a child, but a child does not arrive? Or, in some cultures like my own, the parents want not only children, they want boys. Because in the culture in my place, the sons inherit the father's land. The daughters are expected to have husbands and move off. It isn't injustice, it's just the tradition there. What do the parents, what are they supposed to do when the child does not arrive? Of course, they pray. But they also consult the doctor. Because the doctor is put there by God. Science is according to God's will when it is reasonable science, not when science is distorted to kill life before it's born or to kill life because the person is 90 years old and is very expensive to maintain. Then that's not good science anymore. Every good doctor knows that. But good doctors can also help those who have no child sometimes to have a child for reasons which a doctor can explain. Sometimes the doctor has to say, we have done our best, but we cannot succeed. The doctors know there's a limit to what science can do. So, John Paul II says in Familiaris Consortio, it must not be forgotten, however, that even when procreation is not possible, conjugal life does not, for this reason, lose its value. Physical sterility, in fact, can be for spouses the occasion for other important services to the life of the human person, for example, adoption, various forms of educational work, and assistance to other families and to the poor or to the handicapped children. So that while we acknowledge that children are a blessing and they complete the tree of the family, nevertheless, we cannot ask God questions. Why did Zachary and Elizabeth not have a child until Zachary was 80 or 90 years old. We cannot ask God questions. But we also know that apart from physical paternity and maternity, there is also, because human beings have that higher capacity, spiritual fatherhood and motherhood. Not only in spiritual, in the sense of the priest, who, did you ever think of it, why do we call a priest father? Because he ministers spiritual life, especially in baptism, the most important sacrament, but also in penance. A person who has lost sanctifying grace, the priest becomes God's minister to restore it, that's life, nourishes it in the Holy Eucharist, the biggest sacrament to nourish that spiritual life, then gives the grace of state to those who are married, the grace of state to those who are ordained, priests and or deacons or bishops, and then the strengthening for those who are sick. So the priest is called a father. And also he gives them the word of God, which nourishes, which gives life. Christ tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But not only the priest. Everybody knows Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It was because Mother Teresa gave many people hope. India has a very high population. Calcutta, a big megalopolis. People are all over the place. And there are sick people who are poor, who have no house, no food, and they're full of sores, and they're lying at the roadside. They have no house. It was said that of one sick and dying person, Mother Teresa picked up this person, cleaned the person, brought the person to a hospice, gave the person a bed, gave the person decent food. And this dying old man asked him, who are you? And this Mother Teresa said, I am Sister Teresa, I am Sister of Jesus. The dying man said, no, you are the smile of God. For the first time, this person saw somebody who loved him. Another one dying said, I die like a king. He wasn't very nearly a king at all, but at least he got first time love and decent attention. So, because Mother Teresa gave her life, she and her sisters, to help the poorest of the poor, many people regard her really as mother. When she died, newspapers in India wrote, Mother is dead. They didn't say Mother Teresa is dead. Everybody in India knew who is mother. Hindus, communists, the government around Calcutta was communist. But woe betide anybody who contradicted Mother Teresa. The government will give the person a tough time. Because she gave many people life in that other sense. You are a person, you are a human being. So there is also spiritual life at many levels. I have seen religious congregations of sisters where some elderly sisters, not so much because they are old, but because they are very concerned about the human person. They see their fellow sisters in difficulty, they so help them, those regard them as mother. I know some who have been in difficulty in life when I was Archbishop. And because I came to help them in that junction of roads in their life, they were always calling me father, whether bishop or cardinal. They are not interested in those titles. Father, life. Therefore, when a couple doesn't have a natural baby, it does not mean they can't have that spiritual or even higher human motherhood and fatherhood. Some childless couples, childless in the physical sense, have done excellent apostolate for church and society. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Quoted by St. Paul in the Acts of the Apostles, although it is not in the Gospels, but Christ said it And John tells us everything Jesus said was not written in this book. We grow by giving, not by grabbing. I think grabbing is an American word. I get. The human person grows. The Vatican Council puts it this way, Gaudium Espes 24. The human person cannot fully find himself or herself except through a sincere gift of self. When you give of yourself, you find yourself. When you put joy on the face of another person, wonderful, you become joyful yourself. But when you pursue joy for yourself, just to grab it for yourself, it doesn't work. It explodes. Therefore, every one of us can practice it according to our vocation and mission. This applies to everyone, priests, bishops, religious, monks, nuns, and also married people. The more we give of ourselves to others, and then those people become happy. Because they become happy, we become happy ourselves. It's only wild animals in the forest that become happy when they eat the smaller animals. But a human being who becomes happy by ignoring other people is not a good human being. A good human being grows by looking after others. There was one family, not in this country, in Italy. They had their own children, but they always adopted more children. So you come to their families, rather big. I'm not suggesting everybody can do that. Some people, for financial reasons, can't make it. But some can. Which means the road is not closed just because there are not natural children or not many enough. So all of us must resist the temptation to be closed in, to be lamenting our fate from Monday to Sunday, from January 1 to December 31, and keeping all our money for ourselves. I know, that's the formula for discontentedness. It won't work. But the more you give, it isn't like if you give money you have to somebody, you have less money. But if you give love to another, you will have more love. Somebody said, nobody loves me. I tell you, the reason is because you don't love anybody. That's why you are saying that nobody loves you. So as soon as you open out to others and sacrifice yourself for others, the sun begins to shine. Christ has given us the example. Greater love than this, no one has. That a person lay down life for others. You are not even asked to lay down your life and die for other people, but only to open out. When it is so seen, you'll find that situations that look not happy, the individual can be happy. That's why a handicapped person can be happy if the person knows how to give. A person who is blind, or at least half blind, a person who cannot talk, can see all under the umbrella of divine providence. So whether you have one child and you would have wanted to have five, or you have two daughters and you wanted one boy and one girl, or you would want one and you haven't one, whichever it is, God knows best. We, as followers of Christ, know that it is more blessed to give than to receive. To God, who is the author of life, and who is the maker of the marriage and the family, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.